Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, March the 12th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue year B, the fifth Sunday in Lent, and on the Tuesday of the week, we'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in a familiar spot, Psalm 51 verses 1 through 10. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 10. Grant me grace, God, as befits your kindness. With your great mercy, wipe away my crimes. Thoroughly wash my transgressions away and cleanse me from my offense. For my crimes I know, and my offense is before me always. You alone have I offended, and what is evil in your eyes I have done. So you are just when you sentence, you are right when you judge. Look, in transgression was I conceived, and in offense my mother spawned me. Look, you desired truth in what is hidden, and what is concealed make wisdom known to me. Purify me with a hyssop, that I be clean. Wash me, that I be whiter than snow. Let me hear gladness and joy. Let the bones you have crushed exult. Avert your face from my offenses, and all my misdeeds wipe away. A pure heart create for me, God, and a firm spirit renew within me. This is the word of God for us. All right, so this is a well-known psalm. There's a good chance that all of us may have known this one at some point. And I think if I'm looking back over the different weeks that we've covered so far in the season of Lent, I think Psalm 51 came up in the middle of, or at the very beginning of Lent. I think it was on Ash Wednesday when we may have covered this text. It's a common one. If you went to an Ash Wednesday service, there's a chance that you had this as part of the reading. If you're a pastor, minister, priest, talks about confession, there's a chance that Psalm 51 is brought up. So it's well known. And because it's well known, we know the ins and outs of it. We know that certain sects of Christianity base a lot of their theology of total depravity in this from Psalm 51, where it talks about, surely, you know, I was sinful when my mother conceived me. So there's a sense where we've always been a thorough sinner, even before we made a conscious choice, right? So they find that situated here. If you look at the superscript or the underneath the title of this psalm, you'll see that it's situated in an episode of the Old Testament that we know very well, where David took another man's wife, and in order to conceal it, he had her husband killed. And so when that's all revealed by the prophet Nathan, the psalmist or the psalm seems to be crafted and created by David. There's just a good chance that this superscript was added later, that David wouldn't have, you know, referred himself this way if he was writing this psalm. And so just knowing that there could have been some time passed from the construction of this psalm to it being titled in such a way, there's just some room for negotiation, and scholars get in there and they talk about it. I think the one dilemma, if this is truly from the episode of David and Bathsheba, is where the psalmist or David says here, against you alone have I sinned, very early on. And so either this isn't a psalm that David has written, because he obviously committed a sin against Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba, or David is living in denial here, that it's only against God have I sinned. People try to bail David out by saying, well, all sin is against God, therefore David could say this with, you know, a true conscience, you know, with a clear conscience at least, that he only against God has he sinned. So, you know, that's the debate. So you can have it with yourself, you can dismiss it full hand, it's totally fine. But what we do have here definitively is a bit of a pattern of what it's like to confess our sins to God and to know assurance. There's a good chance that if you've been to a traditional service at some point in your life, and if you can recall the order, that towards the first third of the worship service, there is a confession and an assurance of pardon. This is something that I really cherish from my days in Presbyterianville. I loved it because we enacted a peculiar pattern of public worship. We joined in worship together, you exalted God, And we heard the good news that God was a forgiving God, and therefore we'd have this time of confession. And then after a moment, we would have this assurance of pardon from the worship leader. Is back in Atlanta, Georgia at Peachtree Presbyterian. It was usually Dr. Chuck Roberts, one of the best pastors I've ever worked with. And he had this great way of, as like an older brother or a fatherly figure, a minister of the gospel, he, with clarity, but also with truth and kindness, would convey to us as believers longing for eternity sure that we have been pardoned, and there's an assurance of a pardon of our sins, that we have been forgiven. And I think a steady diet of that proclamation over our lives is healthy. I think we struggle with confession because we don't do it often enough. And I think the more that we do so, the more it's as common as the air that we breathe, the more that we live into the logic and the wisdom of confessing our sins. There's a tradition in the Christian world called the Jesus Prayer, where certain folks, they pray numerous times a day, you know, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's a breath prayer that they pray again and again. And, you know, we're tempted to say, you know, like saying it often makes it rote and makes it maybe less authentic. But I think it's the actual opposite. I think the more that we say it, the more that we can hear it, the more that we experience it, and the truer the confession and the pardon of sins it feels to us. It's like saying I love you to a person who you love the most. What I love so much is at the time of this recording, my kids are 12 and 14, and they say thank you all the time. They say I love you all the time. It's like as we go to bed, I don't think there's a day that doesn't go by that our kids don't say I love you. And never ever thought once, they're just saying this because we've always said it. I think that they say it because they really mean it, and it means something to me. It means as much to me now as it did the first time that they said it out of their own volition and out of their own choice. And I think that's just a bit of the reality, is that when we repeat something, it becomes a part of who we are, like the breath that we breathe and the other common habits that we do. And so we come to Psalm 51 and we see the pattern of confessing our sins and the rawness of this the psalmist craving for forgiveness. And we don't just watch them do it, but we somehow can have affinity with their plight, and we can understand our own missteps and misdeeds. We can recognize in our own life how we've wandered from the well-lit path of faithfulness. And instead of heaping shame upon ourselves, we hear once again that there's a forgiving God that we can cling to and run to. And just like the psalmist says, grant me grace, God, as befits your kindness. Isn't that great? Like, the very nature of God is kind. What do kind beings do? They give grace. They bestow grace. They bestow forgiveness. And they allow love to abound in these given situations. And so, brother and sister in Christ, let's run to the throne of grace this morning as our soul rises to meet God. And as it does, and may we find the grace that we seek there. So with these things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the forgiving God, and we thank you that as we approach the throne of grace today, that we can receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And we come to you, God, as your kids, those who know that we belong to the covenant family, but who also know that there are still rogue parts within our lives that need to be redeemed, that need to be strengthened, that need to be forgiven and set free. And so, God, this day, we know that there's some things we can try to employ that could help us. We know that many of them, most of them, all of them will fall short unless they are empowered by your grace. And so God, this day, we just simply pray for grace upon grace to heap up over our lives. We want to adore you. We want to follow you, and we want to be faithful to you. And we also want to represent you to the ends of the earth. And we know that to do that best, we must be transformed. We must have the presence of Christ in our lives. And so this day, we ask that you pour out your Spirit upon our lives. And just like the psalmist in our passage today, we ask that you take not your Holy Spirit from us. We don't have dread because of that, but it's within that confession we articulate our desire to be filled with you. And so, God, we approach you this day. We ask you to fill us up once more. Give us enthusiasm for your life and work ahead. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.